Small Business Spoonfuls is a twice-a-week Q&A with Lisa Smith, providing the answers to questions you have about running your small business.
Hello, hello. Welcome to episode number 10 of Small Business Spoonfuls. I'm Lisa Smith. As always, I am coming to you this morning or this afternoon or whenever you're listening to this. You can tell I record in the mornings, can't you? Coming to you from Atlanta, Georgia. So I'm so excited to be here today. I say that on every episode. I'm going to have to find a new way to tell you how much I love doing this podcast. So in the meantime, let's just go with I'm so excited. Because today I have got a question that is so timely and so amazing. And it is something that folks are dealing with across the country. And that is paid sick leave laws. Oh my goodness. So for years and years, we have trained that paid time off is not governed under the law, and paid time off, is a choice that an employer makes, right? So they choose to give you vacation time. They choose to give you sick time off with pay and, you know, personal time and holiday pay and or time off and all of that, right? Even bereavement leave and so forth. Even the Family and Medical Leave Act, which allows for job protected time off to have babies and adopt children and take care of sick loved ones or your sick self or whatever it is, that's all unpaid, right? There's no pay protection under FMLA. However, Secretary Pettus from the Department of Labor has been very clear that one of his big missions is to see the entire United States come forward and require employers of a certain size, maybe even a smaller size, provide paid sick time on some level. So this is very serious. So on the 15th of June, which was just a few days ago from when I'm recording this right now, we had Oregon, who became the fourth state to pass laws regarding paid sick leave. So now we have it in Oregon. We have it in, well, actually we have it in more than four states. Sometimes it's at the city level and it's not at the state level. So you'll have to check your localities. But we've got Oregon, we have California, we have New York, we have New Jersey. oh my gosh, I'll think of these. We have Connecticut. We have so many. I'll think of some more as we're talking here. And so I'll put some links in the show notes so you can go out and look at the states specifically and find where the localities are and see if this is affecting you. Washington, D.C. has a law that they passed in 2014. So we have so many of these coming to be. But the thing is that it's really that's really interesting about this paid time off is it's being called paid sick leave or it's been called paid family leave in some cases. But this is really encompassing more than just being sick. So we think of having a sick day as I can't come to work today, I'm sick, and you get that paid day off. This is more like encompassing the things under family and medical leave. And then some states are even throwing in extra added goodies. So like in the, I believe it's the Oregon law that just threw in an employee can have time off if they're sick, they have a sick family member, they're giving birth, they're adopting a child, all those kind of FMLA stuff. But then they also threw in, which I thought was wonderful, but quite interesting, and many people won't know about this, domestic violence leave. Now, there are several states that have domestic violence leave laws written in one form or another. It could be straight up domestic violence, or it could be victims of crime, sexual assault, that type of thing. But nevertheless, there are many, many states that have those leave laws. And then they also in Oregon threw in bereavement leave. Yes, and that's under the sick leave law. So as employers, we have to go in there and we have to read these laws, or we have to have a good source to get the details from a good trusted attorney, consultant, maybe you go to a website to get your trusted information. Whatever it is, you need to make sure you're getting your info from the correct source. And you're, of course, using the rule of threes that I promote so heavily, where you're checking everything three times, three credible sources, right? Get that answer and make sure the answer is straight and not going to be just some answer that tickles your ears, okay? So we don't want just the answer we want the right answer, okay? So keep that in mind, because this is getting pretty crazy, and we definitely want to make sure that as employers, we're doing it right. So when I say getting crazy, it's wonderful for an employee, for a worker, and it's going to be great for the family in general across America, but small businesses are going to start to have, you know, extra expenses with these new laws coming into act. Now, again, this is not in every city and not in every state across the union. So you may be in Georgia, for instance, like me, or Texas, and we don't have those laws yet. But the word yet is heavily stressed because, like I said, Department of Labor is pushing hard for this to be a nationwide thing. And as quickly as states and cities seem to be coming on board, I don't think it's going to take very long to reach this goal of a nationwide paid sick time off statute. And, as always, they're going to be based on the number of employees you have and all of that. So watch out for that, because smaller employers may not have to comply. But even an employee maybe with 15 individuals or 25 individuals may fall under some of these laws. One of the states has it with 11 individuals. So make sure we really look out for that and we see what is covered, and we don't just take it for granted that when we hear the law is called paid sick time, no, that's going to possibly encompass things that you don't think of on sick time. Like, for instance, like I mentioned, bereavement leave, and then domestic violence laws, and just a variety of other items that they might throw in, you know? So every state has been a little bit different on this, and if we do come out with a federal law, we'll have to see exactly how that federal law reads. So I'll keep you posted as that begins to, you know, emerge through the coming months and maybe even years. But definitely keep your ears open, especially for you larger employers. If you've got 50 or more employees, really watch this transition, because even an employer with 50 employees is really not considered a large employer. And you are still possibly going to have struggles with implementing policies of this nature when it comes to paying folks for time off that you didn't expect to previously, right? So anyway, look out for that, because that is definitely, definitely, definitely a hot, hot, hot topic these days. So like I said, check the show notes. You're going to see some links where you can go out and find the specifics on the leave laws in the various areas right now. And then you'll need to go in, if you're in New York State, you'll want to go in and see exactly what the laws are for New York City, as opposed to maybe another city in New York, or same thing in New Jersey. Each locale is coming up with their own version of this in many areas. So there may not be a state law, but there are local laws. And we haven't dealt much with local laws in the past. And we, you know, not at least on the wage and hour type level, but we are now really beginning to see that become a thing. Some of these laws only affect public employers, which would mean if you work for the city, the county, the state, any sort of a government entity, you would be covered, but maybe a private sector employer would not have to observe those same laws. So make sure that you read the law thoroughly, and that you don't make the mistake of thinking something is only for the public sector when really it covers the private sector, or vice versa even. So that maybe it covers both and you think it only covers the public, right? So really make sure you dive in. We are going to be getting more information on this out to you at beauditsecure.com. So you know, if you're one of our members and you are a member of Audit Secure Authority, you have the right, you have the ability to write in to our support at beauditsecure.com email address and ask us questions about your specific situation. So we won't talk to you in generalities then. We'll talk to you on a one-on-one specific level. We'll respond to that email with the answer to your question as best we can. We do not offer legal advice, but we will offer you guidance and show you the links to the places you need to go to read it for yourself in many different areas and decide on those best practices. Okay, so we're going to help guide you, but again, not legal advice. The only organization or only entity you can get legal advice from is the lawyer that you pay. Okay, so even the federal government, the state government, is not considered legal advice. You do have some protections in the event of an audit if you can point to a law that says, I read this on the website and I can show you that, and it's not just hearsay, but I actually can show you and point to it. You have protections there, but none of that is considered legal advice, and all government websites have disclaimers on them stating that we are held harmless, basically, for your decisions based on what you read here. So the only legal advice comes from the attorney that you pay. Always keep that in mind. But that being said, BeAuditSecure.com in that instance is very reliable and on the same level as a government website because it is valid information from a professional, from a group of experts, still not legal advice, okay? But you have to have the rule of threes. So in lieu of paying for an attorney, which you may do if you have a large enough business, but in lieu of that, you need to have three credible sources that are giving you the same information. Whether you like the answer or not, it doesn't matter. But it's the information that you have done the research and now you believe this is the truth. And sometimes that's in your favor and sometimes it's not. But we're not going to sugarcoat things at BeAuditSecure.com. We're not going to give you the answer that we think works for your business. We're going to give you the right answer. Okay, and then you can decide from there what to do with that right answer, and you can continue to consult other sources as well to make sure that you feel comfortable with the decision you make. So come on over, write us that email, support@beauditsecure.com, and if you're one of our Audit Secure Authority users, you are going to get the access to us, and we will answer those questions. So please keep that in mind. We also have an email list here at smallbusinessspoonfuls.com. Please go there and join our email list because we're going to give you updates and really good helpful information as breaking news becomes available. We're going to give you some of that. And of course, at Be Audit Secure, we have breaking news. And then for the inside folks who have paid for a membership to be on our website, we have great detailed breaking news as it becomes available. So keep that in mind. We are here to help you, and that's what we want to do. We want you to be successful in your small business. So watch out for those paid sick leave laws. And the question, basically, I didn't even read it, but it was, must we provide paid sick leave? Because the person who wrote in said they've heard this was becoming law. And so, no, it's not becoming federal law yet. But there are a few states and several localities that have gone this direction. So, again, check the show notes and you will get all of those specifics there. But thanks for writing that question in and we will send you a t-shirt. It is a very important question, and we have all got to keep an eye on this, and especially keep an eye on the extra things that are thrown in, okay? It's not just about sick leave. It's about all kinds of types of leave, and we have to have written policies and procedures, and we have to have standard operating procedures of how we are going to execute this new guideline, or maybe we just go ahead and set a guideline in our business for how we handle these things right now until they're mandatory. Whatever it is, have it in writing. Be able to show it to the employee and have them sign off that they've received it. All policies and procedures must be written and acknowledged by your workers if you plan to ever have a prayer of defending it in court or before an auditing agency or an inspecting agency. Okay, so yay! We are looking forward to hearing more about paid time off as we go, especially these new sick leave laws, and keep your ears and eyes open because we are going to be bringing that to you as the news breaks. Okay, let's move into the fun section of the episode here, which is HR superstar. Okay, so today's HR superstar glass breaking moment goes out to a TV show that's been off the air for a couple of years now, but one that most of us all knew and a lot of us loved, The Office. The Office. Okay, so we know Michael Scott was the fearless leader of The Office, and we had one of the most diverse office settings that you'll find for such a small organization, right? They, at The Office, the folks who wrote The Office, tried to portray various races, cultures, backgrounds, sexual orientations, so many personal life situations that were going on in that small setting. And poor Toby, the HR guy, he was always the one that was hated by everyone, especially Michael Scott. But Toby was the one that was hated in the office because he tried to steer them in the right direction. He tried to tell them, you know, how to do it right, and nobody wanted to listen to Toby, right? Especially Michael Scott. So check the show notes because I've got this video that's on YouTube that someone put together to do diversity training and show you what not to do. And it's just the funniest little video. Very offensive if it were in a real life environment. But Michael Scott is doing diversity training, and so in one section of one of the videos I watched on YouTube, which you can go on there and see many of them, Michael Scott is doing this diversity training where everyone has to pick a card and it has an ethnic or a religion origin, or, you know, an ethnic origin or a religion or a race or something written on it. And you can't look at it. You just have to stick it to your forehead. And then the other people in the room have to come around and describe to you the stereotypes of this religion or ethnic origin or race until you guess what it is. So rest assured that that is not the way you would ever conduct training in your organization. So please don't try that at home. But watch the funny videos because they really, really show us what not to do. They really show us what is inappropriate, and it's obvious that it's inappropriate, and the way The Office presented it was not at all meant to be taken seriously, but really to show you what an idiot Michael Scott was and how what a poor leader he was when it comes to many things, but HR specifically. So our glass-breaking thumbs-down moment goes to The Office, and specifically Michael Scott, for although he thought he was not racist and he thought he was correct in the way he operated his business, he was way off base. So check the show notes, watch that video, and figure out for yourself, have a little giggle, and remind yourselves of what not to do. Don't be a Michael Scott in your office. Alrighty then, that is our episode for today. Don't you love what I sing to you? Okay, the answer to that was probably no. But anyway, thanks for tuning in. Stop by smallbusinessspoonfuls.com and leave me a voice message on SpeakPipe. And when I answer your question, respond to your message on the air, you will get one of our t-shirts. And I'm super excited to be able to send that to you. So do that, and until next time, I'm Lisa Smith, the audit security, you guys. I'm out.